just got back from Transformers 2 by Michael Bay. I'm convinced that this movie is the earthly embodiment of hell and Michael Bay is the fucking devil. That's the only explanation I can come up with for what I've just... I don't even want to say seen, because it wasn't like I just saw it with my eyes. I felt it with my entire being. I was violated by this movie. It was terrible. It was boring. It was everything wrong with movies today. That's an understatement. It's not just everything wrong with movies today. It's everything wrong with this world and this reality and everyone in it. And every time that the theater around me erupted into laughter over some stupid canned joke that we've all seen 1,000 times before, I crossed my fingers and just prayed for the death of my species.
Gentlemen, children of all ages, we are back in, you know the place, people. We are back in the action room. I am Tony Wolf.
And I'm producer Mike.
Woo-hoo!
Filling in for both Jessica and myself, normally.
Both?
Yeah, that's, I guess I'm doing a dual.
It's a strange understanding of the concept of both, producer Mike.
Yeah, I know. I'm not too good with the English
but
language.
Now, as producer Mike was hinting, Jessica is over in Italy. She is currently having lunch with the Prime Minister, and she'll let us know how that goes. She's doing a whole program over in Italy. It's very top secret. We really can't discuss it. But maybe later in the show, if we're lucky, we can get a phone call, a special cell phone call with what are those special kind of cell phones where you can like get it out in the desert? Where there's like a satellite phone.
Aren't they all satellite phones?
She's in a remote area. This is a special like government satellite phone because she's doing some top secret work.
Ooh, I think it's just all to get some nookie. Some Italian nookie.
I think she'll probably have men offering to give her Italian nookie because those Italian men, you know, the way they treat women over there, the way they hoot and holler, and especially American women.
But it's kind of weird, like they're all
Jewish American women.
But they're all, don't they all live at home and stuff? And
yes, they all live with their mothers. But they're all devastatingly handsome. They all have stubble, and they all have accents that make women go weak in the knees. So, anyway, enough about Jessica.
But now you're Italian, aren't you?
I'm half Italian.
So I
make women go weak in the knees, always.
Or in one knee, anyway.
Only one knee.
What, now,
every fourth woman.
Now, what's the other half?
The other half of me is German-Hungarian, thus the wolf.
Wow.
Tony
okay.
Wolf. Many people think I'm Jewish because I look sort of vaguely Jewish, and the last name Wolf is very Jewish.
I actually thought the other half was Cyborg, but no.
Tony Wolf, half Italian, half Cyborg. Please insert robot effect on my voice, half Cyborg. All right.
All right.
So, anyway, we decided that... you know, the San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, and in the weeks building up to San Diego Comic-Con 09, we thought we'd do some new shows and give all of you faithful listeners out there, thank you for sticking with us, action fans, something to listen to. Producer Mike will actually be traveling to the San Diego Comic-Con all by himself.
It's crazy. One day. One day.
He will fly there and back in one day?
Yeah, I'm just going in the morning, getting there around afternoon, like 11 or 12, and then I'm leaving 10 at night. And I'm hoping to get something going in the between. Like
that'll
some contact.
Be 12 hours travel time.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll sleep.
He's doing that for you, Action Room fans.
Yeah, only for you.
He's
That's
doing
the only
that
reason
for you.
I do anything.
And maybe so we can make even more money than we already do for the Action Room.
Yeah, this is going to cost me, but in hopes that eventually it'll...
Right.
You know.
Well, we're already making good salaries as it is,
right.
But we could be making more and get the word out, and soon the Action Room will take over Sirius.
Exactly. And
look out, Howard Stern.
I will be promoting the show. I'll also be promoting and premiering.
Yes?
Not so much the book, but the concept for a book that I created with my girlfriend. So
a comic book?
Yes, a comic book.
Okay.
So I will let you know more about that next week.
All right. You can write into our MySpace account, or write in, email us asking about the book.
Speaking of girlfriends. And obligations we have to them.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. All right, well, What Producer Mike is speaking of is the latest Harry Potter movie. Now, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan anyway. My girlfriend is also a huge Harry Potter fan, as is Producer Mike's girlfriend, apparently, correct?
Huge.
Right. Yeah, my girlfriend is maybe even a little more into Harry Potter than I am. I love them, and I read them all, and I know them a lot, but she knows, like, more she can remember more details about the books than I can.
Not to mention, my girl is, like, kind of, she's young, so she's kind of grown up with the actors, you know, as it's going on.
Right,
so
right.
I'm feeling that's a bigger impact, kind of the Star Wars was for us, you know.
Right, right. So, yeah, I'm not as into the Harry Potter movies. The first two I thought were bland.
Yeah, I must say, I don't know anything about them. I've seen a few of the movies, haven't read any of the books, and they're pretty much all the same to me. So it was nice going with somebody who knew about it, who could fill me in.
But oh, yeah, now, you haven't seen any of the movies?
I know, I saw one or two, but to be honest, they all merged.
You didn't
to
retain
me.
Nothing, them. Yeah.
You know, they all kind of seem the same. Now, but you said you saw, because we were going to see the midnight showing,
yes,
but
now,
you saw the midnight showing.
Yeah, I mean,
which I heard, by the way, made a record box office number for the most in any, you know, midnight showings of any movie, $22 million.
Beat Batman? Because that previously
Batman.
Was the prior record
it
holder
beat Batman
for midnight showings.
For midnight showings, $22
million. Huh.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And,
well,
we wanted to go to the Ziegfeld. You did, so go
right.
ahead.
Yeah, so my girlfriend, I would have gone to Harry Potter like the second day or the third day. She wanted to go to midnight showing. I was like totally up for it. So, you know, I love midnight showings. We went last year to Batman, midnight showing for that. I didn't go to midnight showing for Star Trek, but I went on opening night.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went online to find tickets about a week and a half in advance. Every place in the city was sold out except for the Ziegfeld, which I thought was odd because the Ziegfeld is one of the most desirable places to see a movie, especially on opening night, especially a big event movie.
It's like the last theater in New York that is only plays one movie.
And it is a beautiful old theater.
It's huge. It hasn't been chopped up into multiplexes. It's just one movie.
Yeah.
They usually play the biggest. The last one was Transformers, unfortunately. No reason to see that there.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk about that,
too. But Harry Potter, we got the tickets. She ended up not being able to make it, so I had to see it the next day, the first show the next day.
Wow, okay.
And there weren't that many people.
And they also,
you know,
by the way, had the New York movie premiere
at the
Ziegfeld 3 days prior.
Yes, a place that I
remember. I know some famous people on Facebook, and I saw their pictures from it.
And the cool thing about the Ziegfeld,
I don't really know them. I know them from Facebook. They're acquaintances. All right.
The cool thing at the Ziegfeld is that, you know, I remember going as a kid. I'm sure you went as a kid or something. You know, when you're 10 years old, see Star Wars or whatever. And they would close the curtains and then reopen them again
after the
to kind of give that. Oh, here is now the presentation of the movie.
I don't know that the curtains closed and opened the other night though.
Okay, well, maybe we got the special treatment.
Or
maybe, did you not get, like, previews before the movie?
We didn't get previews.
That's the reason.
Because the movie is 2.5 hours long. We were also pissed that we didn't get previews.
We got previews, and
then
after...
Oh, but you didn't go to Ziegfeld.
No, we did. We went to the Ziegfeld. I think the midnight showing got some special treatment, or maybe less than special treatment, depending on if you want to see previews or not. But
maybe we had to. Maybe they had to like get people out the door, so therefore no previews.
Maybe that might have been
because it ended at like 3.
Yeah, the previews probably
maybe
would
the
have
staff had
added
to,
another half hour or something.
Yeah, because apparently it was like 12 previews.
Yeah, because they show the previews, they close the curtain, and then they reopen it to show the
that's
thing.
Badass. They did that for Indiana Jones. I remember when we saw the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
I think that's
Jones
a thing
movie.
There. You know. They have a curtain, they might as well use it. You know.
Right. Yeah, we didn't get previews. We were kind of pissed about it.
But
that.
Let me just say, you can tell me what you thought.
Okay.
I have to say...
The latest Harry Potter movie, Witch Fans, if you haven't read a newspaper or seen a television show in the past week, it is Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which is the sixth of the 7 books in the series.
And I hear the 7th one is going to be broken up into 2 movies?
Yes,
because
it is so chock full of stuff.
Now, it was interesting to see the movie with someone, again, who knows a lot about it,
right.
Who filled me in, told me the things they changed from the book to the movie and
right.
stuff like that. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I don't know. This was, I don't follow it. So it's like, this was just as the
right,
same
you're coming
movie.
In as a new person.
I felt like I saw this, I had seen one or two of the other ones.
Right.
I don't remember which ones. It was kind of the same thing. I don't know. It's cool. It's a cool story, and I think if I was really into it, I would have got more wrapped into it, up in it. But the thing is, I don't know the story, and I feel like if I didn't have that person helping me out with, you know, following it, I really wouldn't have followed it that much. You know, like
really.
Well, all the I'm an idiot. Okay,
right.
There's that going for me. but the thing is, it's just. Or maybe she made it more confusing because she gave me so much information. And
beforehand?
No, kind of midway. She was saying, oh, well, this was changed. This never happened in the
during
book.
During the movie?
Yeah, which is fine. You know, she was
you're
just
talking
kind of
during the movie?
Yeah, well, whispers or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. But it was fun. It was just kind of like one of those things where
everyone write in and scold producer Mike for talking during the movie.
But no, I had to. I don't know. What did you feel about it?
Okay, I thought it was terrific. Of the Harry Potter movies, it's maybe the second best, and that is because of the director. The first two are directed by Chris Columbus, and they're just sort of so they're too literal for me and for
most people.
A
Home Alone guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It just it's interesting when you adapt a book into a movie. You can't just put the book on the screen. You have to realize that it's a movie. I don't know. The first two Harry Potter movies, they're just...
So what's the best
it's
one?
It's so boring and literal. I think the best one is the third one.
Okay. What's that one called?
Which was directed by Alfonso Cuarón. Of is he Children of Men? No, that's...
I don't actually know. But okay.
Alfonso Cuarón, who directed Sex y Lucia, or some of these Spanish... Some indie Spanish movies.
Right.
Anyway, the third one is
Goblet or something?
Prisoner of Azkaban, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think. The fourth movie, Goblet of Fire, is... Once again, it just felt like the book on the screen.
Right.
Didn't feel like a movie. It didn't have texture. The third one, the guy gave it texture. He, like, made a movie instead of just a book.
But, I mean, so, in other words...
The fifth one, I watched with my brother's kids at Christmas, and it's very dark. A lot... As the books go on, it thematically gets darker.
More adult. Yeah.
More adult, more sophisticated, and more people die.
Mm-hmm.
People die.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was scolding me because she was teasing me because I thought not enough people die. Because it's like a war. It's supposed to be Nazi, you know, the Nazis rise up and try to take over the world.
Right.
It is serious shit.
I have to say, I think...
And it's more people die than in Star Wars. Like, people die. Like, characters die left and right.
There's also, I think, a lot more going on than in something like Star Wars. And that's the thing. I think that I kind of, you know, I'm thrown into it without knowing much about it, catching up, you know. And I think
there are a lot of characters.
If I got more into it, I think I could enjoy it more. Right. Because it is a cool story. And even seeing this movie, if I saw it again, I think I'd you know, be more into it. But
because by this point Harry Potter is like a celebrity and he's you know he's the but it's that classic thing of the chosen one, the child who's going to save us all from the evil, and you know, like a Luke Skywalker.
And what's her name is turning into a fine young woman, Emma Watson.
Yes, she is.
It's at least worth seeing for that.
I'll also say that the director. So I didn't see the fifth one. I didn't pay as much attention to, but it was dark and it looked cool. I don't know. But they always have great actors. Gary Oldman was in several of them. Alan Rickman. I mean, so many great actors. Jim Broadbent, who was
and Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah,
who was in this new one.
Yes.
And there was somebody. Was there somebody else in this that hadn't been in the others?
Jim Broadbent, who played Slughorn.
Oh, okay.
The weird professor.
Right. Now, what's he from? I noticed him. He was
Moulin Rouge. He's from so many things. He's been in so many things.
Yeah.
He's in Hot Fuzz.
Maybe that was it that I'd seen him in recently. Go ahead, Dick. I want to move it along here.
I'll talk about the director of Half-Blood Prince, David Yates.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced that David Yates is going to direct this movie, and I think the next ones. They announced this 2 years ago, and movie fans across the internet, across the world, go, David Yates? Who the fuck is David Yates? And everyone looks him up. He's a British director who directed, like, some TV miniseries over in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, he's not qualified to direct a major special effects huge property. But he did a kick-ass job.
Yeah, definitely.
So whoever picked him, I just felt like this felt like a movie. It had texture. It also... The best Harry Potter movies, I think, find little moments, little bits of behavior or things that aren't literally in the books, but get across the gist of material that has to be cut. Or something, whatever.
Now, using that as a as a reason to move into our next subject.
Yes. So Harry Potter, thumbs up from Tony. Producer Mike, apathetic.
Thumbs up, yeah, if I cared. but so speaking of directors, a director that isn't good on any level, for me anyway, is Mr. Michael Bay. Now,
Michael Bay has
been run into the ground. I don't feel like having a review of Transformers necessarily, but one thing, I just have a take on...
Producer Mike saw it, I did not.
Right, okay, so you didn't even see it. All right,
no.
Now, it's been, I think... See, this is a sad thing. I mean, for a lot of our fans... I don't know, how many people that you've talked to actually like
it? Raise your hands. For our fans, raise your hands.
Has anyone liked it that you've talked to? Like...
No.
At all? Yeah.
But then again, no one I've talked to have seen it except you.
Oh, well...
Not a single person.
You can't even answer that question.
But it means something that none of my friends have seen it.
Has even seen it. But that might be just, you know, their disinterest in, you know, robot movies or something.
We saw the first one together.
Yeah.
A midnight showing.
Yes. A girlfriend of mine at the time.
And you
fell asleep in my lap while I was falling asleep.
You started to fall asleep, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was totally out of it the whole time. But
the first one, I think, is mediocre.
Okay, well, here's
the deal. It has parts that are good and so much that's sucky.
I'm not going to review the movie, okay, because it's like you either like them or you don't.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, but this is my take on it is more about humanity, okay?
Okay.
And America and the fact that they like this movie, okay? So I lost all faith in our species.
Humanity.
Yeah.
As a species,
yeah.
As a race.
Well, I lost
the
all
human
faith.
Race.
What regained it for me, ironically enough, was Michael Jackson's death, okay? Because it brought everybody together. It kind of reminded me about, you know, the shared experience and the fact that people actually do like good things, you know, on some level, even if they are from the 80s, like the Transformers. But I thought some of the most the most depressing part of Transformers and its success is
with Michael Jackson.
Right. Was people in the audience laughing at just horribly, you know, stale jokes and and applauding. They applauded after the movie was done. Okay, and I see these movies in Times Square. Where usually they're like, "Oh, this movie sucks," when it's over, no matter how good it is. They applauded this movie. I'm just like, who are these people? This is horrible that we've come so far with the genre of comic book and action films with Star Trek and Watchmen and Iron Man, and then something like this comes along, Transformers, just horribly done. The more than anything, I think the designs were the thing that killed it for me, because it just makes all the action sequences way too confusing. You can't follow it.
But apparently the movie itself, the plot, the characters are bad,
too. Everything else sucks, too, but... And one thing I do want to add is that...
the racist characters.
The racist characters, and I mean, just, you know, what's her name doesn't add anything to it.
Megan
of being
Fox.
Hot, you know.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, did you see she's in a new movie?
Jennifer's Body.
Jennifer's Diablo Cody's movie.
Yeah.
But no, what I wanted to mention was there were attempts at the Transformers designs in commercials and, you know, this guy Michael... let's see. Michael Smith. Could check out themichaelsmith.com and specifically look up the new Trans Z clip, if you've seen it. And he did these designs...
Was this years ago?
Yeah. He did these designs in, 2007 and earlier, where it was the first take on, somebody actually making, a car.
I remember seeing
robot.
One, and I think this was one of his.
And back then, you know, it was like, oh, wow, this could be great. We could see a Transformers movie. And this one clip that I'm mentioning, Trans Z or whatever, check it out. It's what the film should have been about. It's what the design should have been like. And even the Syntrone 4V Transformer car commercials from a few years back.
That I remember, too.
Yeah, if you look them up on YouTube, you can check them out where they're skating or they're dancing in a parking lot and stuff. If you check those out...
I think it was a Volkswagen campaign.
Yeah, if you check out... Well, Syntrone was the... I don't know if that's also BMW or
Citroen,
whatever.
Syntrone, yeah.
But check it out. That's what these designs should have been all about. Very clear, distinct. They look like they were cars. They look like what they used to be. They didn't just become from a car into a piece of metal shit. You know, it was actually something. And anyway, I'm glad that something good came out of the Michael Jackson death, which was we all came together. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like a mini 9/11 in some ways.
It was.
Everywhere in New York City, they were playing Michael Jackson music. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, 80,000 Michael Jackson T-shirts. Everyone's Michael this, Michael that. You know.
No, it's proof that the only
everyone watched that funeral.
Right, he'll be the last popular icon for me, as far as I'm concerned, that will unite so many people.
When Bruce Springsteen dies, I think something.
Something, but not on to this level, you know.
Not Michael
Maybe
Jackson.
Jersey will suffer.
Because
sure.
Other races probably don't care about Bruce Springsteen.
That's the thing. He was worldwide, and the other thing about it is, and that's
when Stevie Wonder dies. Well, he's not even as big as Michael Jackson.
I think I heard maybe Muhammad Ali or Paul McCartney. People like this might because they're Beatles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like when you think of what will bring people together now, it isn't icons anymore. It is, like you said, terrorist attacks or catastrophes or things like that. Speaking of, I hate all these catastrophe movies, but 2012, the one with Matthew Broderick, it looks pretty
Matthew
insane.
Broderick is in it?
No. Who's the guy I'm getting confused?
McConaughey.
Matthew
McConaughey.
No, is he in it too? But
I don't know.
No,
I don't know anything other than Roland Emmerich is making a
Better
movie.
Better Off Dead.
Who's John that? Cusack.
John Cusack is the main
guy. He's
in
it?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Well, he needed a paycheck or something, dude.
And I'm sure that came through. But it looks pretty awesome. I saw the trailer before the thing. One movie.
You knew someone was going to capitalize on all the 2012 prophecies and make a movie.
But the things that, because you think, like, how many more things can they explode or make, you know, destroy and stuff like this? The way they have things being destroyed is pretty amazing in this one. One last thing I want to say is a movie coming out that looks so awesome is Where the Wild Things Are from the book.
I didn't see the preview.
Fucking awesome.
Really?
Spike Jonze, the guy that did all the 90s videos like Sabotage, Beastie Boys. Fucking great. It looks
so awesome. And it's CGI?
Awesome. CGI, but it's seamless. It's not like, oh shit, CGI. And the way it's done, it's done like kind of a, what was that film?
Like a Pixar movie?
Like his other stuff, but like, you know, Eternal Sunshine.
Michael
Gondry. Michel Gondry kind of stuff, you know, which, you know, the one guy wrote Adaptation also did Eternal Sunshine, but Spike Jonze wrote, directed Adaptation, which I wasn't crazy about. But this looks awesome.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the preview for Where the Wild Things Are because my fucking Harry Potter midnight showing didn't have previews, which we were pissed about anyway.
Well, now you did see, which I think we also had too, was the G.I. Joe preview.
I've seen that in previous screenings, and it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Actually, I will quote, I don't even know, think she'll ever listen to this, but I'll tell her, Kim Rogers, a friend of mine who saw Dark Knight with us and other things. I ran into her and many other friends, Chris Chiz, Thomas DeMarcus, shout out to these peeps. And she calls it G.I. crap. G.I. crap. The G.I. Joe movie.
That's not even clever.
Like it. G.I.
crap. I mean,
I like it. And I told her I like it and I'm going to use it. So, G.I. crap, ladies and gentlemen. When I saw the preview for G.I. crap, my first thought
like
was...
Maybe like G.I. jack shit. I mean, that... I think, anyway, go
G.I.
ahead.
Jack off.
Something with a J.
I just like the irreverent... It doesn't have to make sense. G.I. crap. It doesn't have to be clever. Right. It's clever by virtue of not being
crap
clever.
Joe? That's a little too obscure. Okay, go ahead.
C.P. Joe.
Okay, go ahead.
C period, R period, A period.
Or well, what is it called? It and when you're a soldier, the
G.I. Ho.
what is it called? The duty you have to sometimes.
K.P.
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 Joe. Okay, anyway.
He's got. You know what that stands for?
Crap. Or,
kitchen patrol.
Actually, that wouldn't be K.
Kitchen patrol.
Oh, okay.
It means you have to peel potatoes.
Right. Well,
for like
I was
4 hours.
Thinking toilet stuff. Doesn't work. Okay, go ahead.
Peel
so anyway.
Peel potatoes. I think that's only in like 1940s war movies. I don't think now
which
your
is
punishment is peeling potatoes.
Right. It's just dying
it's
for
just,
this country. That's
dying.
That's enough.
Dying in Iraq. Are we totally out of Iraq? We're sort of out of Iraq.
I hear we're going to be pulling out or, you know.
Afghanistan.
That's what she said. Anyway, go ahead.
When I saw the preview for G.I. crap, I saw them put on exoskeletons.
Right.
And I was like, why are they superheroes? Why do they look like Batman? And why are they dodging a bullet in Matrix bullet time effects on the street?
I mean, as if G.I. Joe wasn't cool enough. You know that at that point, they just didn't give a shit about the...
Seeing Dennis Quaid made me happy. If you're going to have Sienna Miller all sexy as the Baroness, fine. You're going to have someone play Scarlet, fine. You're going to have a Snake Eyes and a Storm Shadow, fine. Those are Destro. These are all good things. Just don't fuck it up the way we know they will fuck it up.
Yeah, I think it's too late, Tony.
Don't see it.
Is the director someone?
I'm already condemning it. It hasn't even come out yet.
Last thing.
The director has got to be some no-name shit. And he's going to be a guest on our show next week.
He's in the studio, Tony.
During which I will recant
I am the some foreign director.
I am Wolfgang Flatsteinstein.
Crap.
And I previously directed Transporter 4.
What's the next thing you're doing? Care Bears, the movie.
Last thing.
Hungry hippos.
Last thing I want to talk about is the remake.
Last thing. We got a lot to talk about.
Well, we'll talk about the comic book stuff when we come back from break. But the
Our breaks. You're familiar with our breaks, fans. Anyway, sorry.
They last usually 2 months.
With all our sponsors.
All right, so no, I wanted to talk about the Let the Right Run In.
Okay, so we talked months ago on the show about a fantastic movie, which I loved so much and producer Mike loved so much, called Let the Right One In. This Norwegian vampire movie, we won't say much except it's about young children, like 11 maybe?
Yeah, 12, something like that.
And it's vampire story. A very non-traditional/traditional vampire story. Really wonderful, beautifully made, just so well directed, so well acted, amazing child actors. And we found out weeks after seeing it that it was going to be remade.
By America.
By America, by Hollywood. And not only that, Action Room fans, I know you're outraged. Please write in and tell us how outraged you are. But it was going to be directed by the director of Cloverfield, Matt Reeves, who is apparently J.J. Abrams' sort of right-hand man.
Right, right.
One of his main peeps.
J.J. Abrams, another it's Judd Apatow.
Another fan of the Action Room.
Judd Apatow and J.J. Abrams own Hollywood at this point. It's just everything comes from them in some way, you know?
Is he going to be at Comic-Con, J.J. Abrams?
I don't know, but if
maybe you can get an ID saying J.J. Abrams is a fan of the Action Room.
At least maybe the guy will be there, the Matt Reeves guy. Maybe we'll hunt
Matt
him
Reeves
down.
Loves the Action Room. He was just telling me the other day.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, so we thought, why the fuck would you remake a perfect movie? Why?
And so soon. I mean, literally a year after it came out.
A year after the foreign, film.
Crazy.
And Ain't It Cool News, a site which we love, Harry Knowles, whoop whoop, shout out, had a link to posters for this American remake. And the posters looked like they were actually going to respect the tone and feel of the movie and not jump on the Twilight bandwagon, as they were saying, and make the characters older or make it this sexy thing or whatever.
Takes place in the 80s, which the original might have also. It seemed like it was in another era.
The original
era,
was so. In a timeless, weird era.
Yeah. But also this one takes place more in the snow.
I think in Norway everything looks 30 years behind. Because
right.
They're just like cavemen.
Right. But no,
so all you Norwegian listeners, please write us hate mail.
No, it's like the Action Room has a huge Norwegian fan base.
Yeah, I defined the Action Room.
No, but but it takes place in the snow, a lot of it, or something like that. It could be really cool, but I don't know. Just and also, I didn't realize it came from a book. Although I should assume everything comes from
a
book.
Came from
a
short story or a book?
So, maybe either. Something you had to read before you watched it. That's all I know. But either way, I just feel like
Mr. Mike doesn't read.
It was so good that I still don't. Even if it's great, I just don't understand.
Yeah,
how
and
it
a year
be.
Later. They're already making unnecessary remakes of 80s movies, which were perfect in the 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe I could see why you want to make an unnecessary remake 30 years later.
I think Blasphemy will be if somebody remakes some John Hughes films. Pretty
if somebody remakes...
Breakfast Club.
I was going to say remakes Ghostbusters, but they're just going to do Ghostbusters sequel.
Yeah, no, that'll...
They're
that
talking about remaking Fright Night. I mean, all these movies that it's
I mean,
like,
you know, as much... I love Fright Night. That's like one of my favorite movies. Even still... That's okay. I could see them remaking that.
Right.
That was kind of such a movie that was... It was so 80s that they could totally update that thing, you know?
But yeah, you can't remake The Breakfast Club. You can't remake...
That would be
16
weird.
Candles.
And, speaking of...
You can't remake... What's the what's the one with In Your Eyes, John Cusack? Say Anything.
Right.
Say Anything 2009!
Like, what was... Fame... Their remake.
But that's universal. That's a theme that is always relevant.
Right. But now, speaking of the what was the kid? Do you know the name of the kid in Fright Night who was like the 976 evil kid? Do you know that? He was like the bad, his friend.
I don't know the movie well enough
to
know that
I
reference.
I love that kid. I don't know.
I remember the main kid and Roddy McDowell.
The main kid ended up in...
And the girl.
Wasn't that's the same guy from Herman's Head?
Nah,
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right in, Action Room fans. Call our hotline. Is the hotline still on the website?
We still do have a hotline.
Call that 1-800 number. Tell us. Anyway,
me?
All right.
I'll call it. Okay.
So moving on.
Let's go back to the... Go to a break.
Oh, yes. So we'll be right back, Action Room fans, after this break and this musical interlude brought to you by our sponsor, an unnamed band from the 1990s.
Well, actually, yeah, no, Michael Jackson.
Brought to you by our sponsor, Michael Jackson. The estate of Michael Jackson is not affiliated with the Action Room.
Down.
Yeah, we're back from our Michael Jackson musical interlude.
You were saying that you get
confused. I don't know what song you picked.
You were thinking that Joe Jackson...
Yes, every time in the news that I... every time I hear in the news about some rights battle or some legal thing with the death of Michael Jackson, very tragic death of Michael Jackson, I hear about Joe Jackson, and I'm picturing the white, bald Joe Jackson from the 80s, stepping out into the
That's
night.
One of my favorite songs, and maybe we'll...
Dude,
we'll,
Joe Jackson is a genius.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
Stepping out, and is she really going out with him? I got several Joe Jackson albums, yeah. And I was like, Joe Jackson owns the rights to some Michael Jackson stuff?
If we wanted to date ourselves, and, you know, yes. I mean, talking about Joe Jackson on a Geek Culture cast.
And okay. By the way, we will have the bald white Joe Jackson on the show next week.
I saw him walking down the street one time in the Village. He's really
gay.
Tall.
Too. He's tall and he's gay. And in the early 80s, he couldn't reveal that he was gay, so all his songs had to be about girls.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right, so go ahead.
Okay, so...
Let's hear Tony. Tony's been a little bit out of it, I'd have to say, in the last few weeks. We can get into that in a little bit, that you decided to get into therapy
a little bit. I was high on drugs. I was doing crystal meth. No, I did decide to go into therapy just to, you know,
but
be a true American.
And the scary thing for me was that you kind of had gotten out of comics a little bit, just for a split second.
Yes, it's a bad sign in Tony Wolf's life when he gets sad or, you know, has issues. He loses interest in comic books.
We must explain that you're like Mr. Comic Book, okay? You know everything about comics.
Well, any Action Room fan who's listening knows this.
But, you know, you're above and beyond.
I'm hardcore, yeah.
Okay, so when you got out of it...
Even if I was buying less comic books, I read them in the store for free because to save money.
Okay, so...
I had this interest.
I'm just trying to say it was a very scary time, okay?
It's a sign of distress.
Okay, so...
It's one... If you look up on the internet signs of sadness, it's loss of interest in comic books.
Right. So now what? Now has that's changed? Though.
So I was interviewing therapists.
Well, no, but
it's rather like job interviews.
Before we get into the therapy thing,
right?
Let's get into comics. Let's just keep it up there.
Oh yes, I've
got
rekindled
back into comics.
The interest in comics. Everyone, just rest
you're
easy.
You're not getting comics on the Kindle. You're rekindled your interest.
Oh, and for the record, I hate the Kindle. I just think,
right.
I mean, I know people say that books are heavy and the Kindle spares you that, but I don't want to read shit on a screen.
Right, right. Okay, so, but anyway, you got it back into comics.
Anyway, yeah, so, I mean, I still, you know, I kept up a little bit, but I fell away from the fold.
All right, so what is
I fell off the wagon. Now I'm back on the wagon.
What
like a true addict should be.
What are the big comics of the day?
Okay. Big comics, first of all, Green Lantern has been a huge comic franchise, successfully restarted by Geoff Johns, superstar DC writer. And we'll go back earlier just to our movie topics to say that they cast, as you probably know, action fans, they cast the role of Green Lantern / Hal Jordan for the upcoming Green Lantern movie to be directed by Martin Campbell, who directed the James Bond reboot, Casino Royale.
So it should be awesome.
So he's already got one successful franchise beginning under his belt. They cast Ryan Reynolds, who I think works. I think he works.
I thought so. The old news was that they were looking at Justin Timberlake.
He was one of like several potential candidates.
Well, they're the same type. So Ryan Reynolds, I could see.
Yeah, definitely. Ryan Reynolds is a little more manly.
He's also probably a better actor. Maybe not, but yeah.
Probably a better actor. Yeah. The other guy being talked about was the guy from The Hangover. What's his name?
Oh.
Shit, I forget. He was the...
Zach Galifianakis?
No. He was the handsome asshole boyfriend in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, okay.
That guy.
Yeah.
And back then, I thought he would just be typed his whole life as the handsome jock asshole boyfriend.
Right.
But he's broken out of that.
Yeah. So Hangover is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
I do want to see it. It did. The preview made me laugh a lot. It sounds great.
Speaking of comedy.
It sounds like Judd Apatow, but not made by Judd Apatow.
By Todd Phillips, who is a great director.
Old
he did
school.
Old School. And back in the day, he did a movie about the punk rocker. This is like his first movie, low-budget documentary he did where he followed around Gigi Allen, who was this crazy punk rocker who would throw shit at the audience. And he wanted to kill himself on stage. We followed him as kids. We were too scared to see him as
he
kids.
He wanted to kill himself on stage?
He wanted to shoot himself or whatever on stage. He never ended up doing that. Ultimately, he died like every other rocker where he had a heroin overdose. But fucking incredible movie, Hated, it's called. You got to rent it. Todd Phillips' first
movie. It's called
movie.
Hated.
Yeah. His first movie, it's hysterical, and now with Hangover, he's like one of the biggest people in Hollywood. It's just funny how like
didn't he direct one of those Eurotrip movies too?
Road Trip with Tom Green and stuff like that. So
anyway, the Green Lantern movie has been cast. I think it's a good selection. Ryan Reynolds, who's also played Deadpool in the Wolverine movie.
Oh, you know,
and he was also in the Blade movies, which I have not seen.
I wasn't even thinking Ronald Reagan. You know what I was thinking of?
Reagan. Ronald Reagan!
They were digging up his body. Who was I thinking of? The guy in who was married to Reese Witherspoon.
Fuck,
what's his name? Anyway, I thought that's who you meant.
Ding,
Ryan Reynolds.
Ding,
wow,
ding.
So he's doing everything.
What is that guy's fucking name? Ryan Philippe.
Philippe.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, so you think this is going to be good?
Only took me 1.8 seconds, action fans. Anyway, I think he's a great choice.
Yeah, so
he's
tell me about the Green Lantern series where we're at.
So Green Lantern...
Because I notice you're holding something.
Yes, well, in the Green Lantern comics, I made Action Room history several months ago. Mike, producer Mike and Jessica challenged me to explain the plot of this massive summer crossover in a minute, or was it a minute and a half?
I think it was just a minute.
30 seconds?
Yeah. Maybe
a minute?
Something like that, yeah.
It was 10 seconds I did it in. Wasn't it 8 seconds? It's called Blackest Night, or The Blackest Night. And Geoff Johns hit on the idea that there's Green Lanterns, and there's Sinestro, the evil villain, with a yellow lantern. So what if there were other color lanterns as well?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said orange, whatever, and then he was talking with his artist, and they hit upon the idea that, like, different emotions could correspond to different
kind of like a mood ring.
Like a mood ring, yes. I'm sure the mood rings had some, element in the inspiration. So red is rage, so there's red lanterns, and they're all angry. And there's orange is greed, purple is love, yellow is fear, green is willpower, mm-hmm. blue is hope.
Pink is gay pride.
Pink is gay pride. And, no, that's rainbow.
rainbow.
And then they came up with the idea, there was an obscure Green Lantern villain called the Black Hand, who was kind of a joke villain. He was kind of a dorky villain. And then they said, what if there is a Black Lantern, and what if the Black Hand, like, becomes this dark, violent villain, and what if the Black Lanterns, like, bring the dead back from life? And so now you have another favorite staple of comics and sci-fi genre, zombies. So in The Blackest Night, not only are all of the different color lanterns fighting each other, right? The red lanterns, all the colors. They're
this
all
is a quick,
in a huge
wait, let me
war.
Let me ask you this question. Now, as zombies, are they all like, or do they actually just function as regular people, but they're...
They seem to function as regular people, but so they're evil.
But they can talk and everything.
No, they talk.
Oh, interesting.
They
okay.
don't go,
But do they all like...
That would make for a boring miniseries if everyone, all the villains just went,
just say, or if all the villains couldn't do anything, they just walked really slow. Like, that would be a horrible comic book. But no, do they...
So the Black Lanterns bring back any dead DC characters, good and evil. But when you're brought back to life as a Black Lantern, you become evil.
Gotcha.
So it's a clever way for them to, any DC characters, heroes or villains that have died, that you knew eventually had to come back to life, they're going to come back to life as evil zombies. And I'm sure that by the end of this series, the good characters that DC wants back to life will be cleansed of the evil and somehow restored to life.
This is your prediction.
Non-zombie.
After reading comics for 30 years.
Of course.
Now, but explain...
Aquaman was dead. Are they going to bring him back?
Captain America recently. Now, explain...
Unrelated.
Explain.
That's Marvel. Beep, beep, beep. Marvel, DC. Beep, beep, beep.
There's no way to link comic book...
There's a great obscure Simpsons joke that my friend Mark Manny... Shout out Mark Manny, reminded me of, where Mrs. Krapopel wants to date... The principal wanted to date... The comic book guy wanted to date Mrs. Krapopel, one of the teachers from Bart's school.
Right.
And he's like, I don't understand why it can't work out between you and I. And she's like, look at it this way. She goes, I'm the Marvel Universe, and you're the DC Universe. And there's a pause, and he goes, I understand completely.
That's awesome.
So anyway, Captain America Marvel... Green Lantern DC.
But, you know, there is...
Captain America coming back to life, which he is now after 3 years. That's a time travel device they're using for that.
Look, Tony, I live in the crossover world, okay?
Look, Tony, this is the Action Room. we don't have time for such things.
All is possible in the Action Room.
Anyway, so when I bought my... it's an 8-issue miniseries, in addition to which, in the regular Green Lantern book, the story is playing itself out. When I bought my Blackest Night number 1... at Jim Hanley's Universe. I usually go to Midtown, but I happen to be near Jim Hanley's, so I went to Jim Hanley's.
How dare you?
Yes, I know. And they said, would you like a free Green Lantern pin with the different colors and the symbols?
Hope. It says hope.
It says hope, and it's blue, and it has the logo. Then they said, would you like a Green Lantern ring?
Ooh.
Now, every comic fan out there has always dreamed of having a Green Lantern ring. And in fact, they have made, through the years, many fake plastic replica Green Lantern rings.
Right.
Even like expensive stuff that
right.
is like $80.
But this
which
is
I never got those.
This is the mother of fake plastic
rings. This is a black lantern ring.
That's awesome.
So it is plastic, it is cheap, it is mass producible at low cost to DC.
Right.
But it's a fun giveaway.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I said, that's fun, damn it. So I took one. And now I can create my own zombies. I can bring my dead relatives back to life.
Wow, that's
but the
impressive.
Only catch is that they're evil zombies. So it's kind of like that short story, The Monkey's Paw.
Oh, wait, there's a Stephen
when
King?
When he wishes that a dead person be brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Stephen King. Stephen King sort of stole the idea with
Monkey
Pet Cemetery.
Oh, okay, right.
But yeah, Monkey's Paw, you know, he wishes his old so-and-so is back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're back and they knock on the door ominously, but they're like a twisted zombie
that's
version.
That's cool. I like that.
And then he like takes back the wish and the knocking at the door stops.
That's
it was
awesome.
Too scary.
And
that's Pet Cemetery, except with pets.
Right. And then remake of that will be with the doorbell. Okay. Anyway,
it'll be with your your iPhone is ringing.
It's an ominous
a possessed iPhone, which actually Stephen King did do a thing about possessed, not possessed, but cell phones.
They called the cell.
Called the cell
right?
that
yeah.
send out a message.
They were
going to
do
you.
A movie about that. I think Eli Roth.
We should
something.
Do a movie about a possessed iPhone.
Did you see the movie?
Wait, edit that out because that's a golden Hollywood idea. Possessed iPhone. No one can copy that. Copyright the Action Room.
Now wait, what? Have you seen the trailer for The Box?
There's a spirit in the iPhone. The Box.
There is a spirit in the iPhone, and it's called Steve Jobs.
Yes.
And he's going to take over the world. Oh,
he's
he already has.
Die, though.
Whoops. Yeah, but he's not. He's
immortal.
The
I'll bring him back to life with my Black Lantern ring.
Anyway, The Box, I saw the trailer for it. It's the new guy, the Donnie Darko director, has a movie called The Box.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting. It's where a couple gets a box.
Oh, I heard about
and
this.
And you can press this button, and it will kill somebody, but it will give you $1 million. And so they decide whether they should do it or not. There's more, obviously, involved in it, because I'm going to say, like, I would never push the button, even if I needed $1 million. I wouldn't want to kill somebody. But maybe they're lying. I don't know.
Strange.
But
his last movie was that movie that bombed, American Dreams? No. Southland Tales.
Oh, I didn't see that. Who was in that?
Everyone but Bob.
Oh, I think I remember
Sarah
that,
Michelle
yeah,
Gellar,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Rock.
Now, speaking of movies, other remakes that I, at first, was thinking this is going to be the lamest movie to ever be done in the Marvel Universe. But now that I hear about it, it looks like it actually could be really cool.
Are you saying what I think you're going to say?
The Thor movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me...
First off, their first smart move was getting Kenneth... fucking Branagh
right.
to direct a movie about Norse mythology.
Well, here's the thing. Now that I see
and
it...
And he's all psyched about it, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
But Joe Quesada, editor-in-chief of DC Comics, had a personal meeting with Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
And Kenneth Branagh, like, for, like, 3 hours, like, acted out the movie.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And pitched it.
I mean, I could see it now being kind of like, you know...
I wish I was there.
Not that it's Zack Snyder, but I could see it being more of a 300 kind of approach and stuff. And also... Because the whole thing was, I couldn't imagine somebody in one of those Thor costumes looking cool and stuff, but it'll be an updated kind
of
thing.
Even the current version of Thor's costume is updated.
Is it?
Cool.
Okay.
And there have been other iterations of it through the years.
Okay,
iterations
well,
of this Action Room vocabulary.
Chris Hemsworth?
Is Thor.
The guy from Star Trek? I could totally see him being
Wait,
Thor.
Star Trek?
Isn't it? That's what they said. Yeah.
I don't know what he was in Star Trek.
He was the guy, he was Kirk's dad in the beginning.
He's
who died.
Thor?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I read. Well, I could see him doing it. Maybe it was old news.
He's not playing Thor. No.
Okay, who's
Thor,
playing Thor?
Thor, literally, it's some no-name, but he's a young, blonde, like, wrestler-looking dude.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll look, I'll show you. You know what? We will take
Chris
a break.
Chris Hemsworth may be in the movie, but he's not playing Thor.
Well, he's, oh, it was the love
Thor
interest
is
of Natalie
guy.
Portman.
No. No, 1,000 times
hold on.
No,
okay.
Producer Mike.
I'm gonna
hold on. Natalie Portman was cast as Jane Foster, Thor's love interest.
Yeah.
Thor's love interest. This other dude, you either got the name wrong, or that guy is playing a supporting role,
I am
or
going
playing
to,
something else.
I am going to check.
Thor is
I'm
a young, blonde, strapping, wrestler-looking dude.
I'm going to check these facts and come back to you.
We're
going to
take another special break.
Let's take a break right now. Let's take a break right now.
This is a new Action Room feature.
Okay, let's take a break.
We're
going to
check the internet.
We'll
be right.
Tony Wolf.
Pick a Michael Jackson song.
Not Thriller. That's so overdone by this point. What else? Say.
Because
what
of Paul McCartney. Which, by the way,
I saw
when we were coming back from Harry Potter, I saw them setting up for the late night show with him going to appear. But we
Paul
didn't
McCartney?
Actually, yeah. Which
Living
is pretty
legend.
Awesome.
I saw him perform live.
Oh, really? Where?
8 years ago.
Awesome.
Meadowlands Stadium.
For a Green Lantern event. Okay, bye. We're coming back. Say, we're back.
Tony's wrong.
Yes. Yes, I want you to apologize now on your hands and knees.
All right. Action Room fans, I have betrayed you. Action Room fans, this Chris Hemsworth person that my... Is it Chris Hemsworth?
Hemsworth.
Chris Hemlock. Sherlock Hemlock.
He did play George Kirk, Kirk's father, in the beginning of Star Trek.
He played Kirk's dad in the J.J. Abrams Kirk movie.
What were you thinking,
For
Tony?
For some reason, when you said the dad in Star Trek, I pictured...
You were thinking of Michael Gross, the dad of Michael J. Fox and
yes.
Family Ties.
Alex, can we talk about this, Alex?
I was picturing the more prominent father figure in the Star Trek movie.
Gotcha.
The older actor with the great temples who played Christopher Pike.
Gotcha.
I was not thinking of Kirk's dad.
Anyway, now that you can think of who it is,
yes.
he would be good
well,
as Thor,
course, yes.
right?
And I'm glad they didn't go with a dumb wrestler dude.
And Loki, now I don't know who this guy is, but I saw the face of him and looks just like the character, Tom Hiddleston.
Turn off the show. We got to look on the internet again. I want to see this
or
guy.
Hiddleston or something.
No, anyway, I this is news to me.
Yeah, it the guy looks just like... Well, I'll show it to you at another break. I should have showed it to you this time. But
I didn't know they cast Loki. That's
yeah,
cool.
Looks cool.
And Natalie Portman as Jane Foster.
Yes.
A lovely, you know, pretty brown-haired angelic nurse who Thor falls in love with.
Sounds beautiful. I don't know the Thor series at all, but it from what I know of it and from seeing this and Kenneth Branagh, I actually am excited about this one.
Yes. And it's not going to be all Norse. Like, they come to Earth eventually.
Cool.
In the movie.
Cool.
No more spoilers.
All right, so...
So that's Thor. Now, another eagerly anticipated Marvel movie. We all loved Iron Man. We all loved Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man 2 is currently filming and about to wrap up production. Scarlett Johansson
Woo-hoo.
Is playing the Black Widow
what
after...
Sorry.
Yeah. Insert a louder whistle there. Emily Blunt was in talks to play the Black Widow. She would have been okay, but... She wasn't... I don't think she's the right type of hotness. She had to bow out due to other commitments, other movies. Scarlett Johansson was cast. Definitely hot, but I don't know that she's, like, the perfect choice for the Black Widow.
Right.
But you know what? I'm sure she'll be fine. And she'll be hot, which is really the main consideration. So the first picture of Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow was released on the internet. And go look it up right now. Yeah, she looks good.
And who's the Whiplash, you said?
Mickey Rourke is playing a villain called Whiplash.
And?
One of the many crappy villains that Iron Man has. That they're going to try to make cool.
Sam Rockwell is also in it.
Yes.
And I loved him in Moon, by the way. I just want to promote Moon, which
yes.
is a great movie. And
Sam Rockwell, great actor.
Sam Rockwell is a great actor, and I'm just very psyched about this series. John Favreau, he's great. I think this could go down. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think? As probably potentially the best Marvel movie series ever.
Yes, I would say Spider-Man is the best, but then there's Spider-Man 3.
That. Yeah, then there's 3. So,
however, you're banking on the idea that there will be 3 awesome Iron Man movies.
Don't you see that as a
if John Favreau continues to direct?
Yeah.
Yes,
I think so. I don't know.
He won't make the Sam Raimi mistake of the third movie being shitty.
I also just think we're living in a little bit of a different era. And also, the people he's casting and the types of things he's doing with it, yeah. Robert Downey and all this stuff, it's just very different.
Better actors.
You know, I give it to Raimi. Raimi was dealing with the fact that it was he broke the mold, as far as I'm concerned. So I give him so many props. Yeah. At the same time, I think he was getting tired of doing it by the third one. I don't know.
By the way, he's directing a fourth.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. I guess not tired enough. But Jon Favreau, though, I don't see him getting tired of it because it's just like he, I don't know, maybe he's a different type of personality. Also, Raimi got to do some other stuff like Drag Me to Hell, so
right.
I think he, you know, kind of regained his interest.
You
in
know, Spider-Man 4, they are currently writing and Raimi is directing.
That's cool. That's cool.
They're getting.
Hopefully, Michael Bay will not do Transformers 3. That's all I can hope for.
There is one good Michael Bay movie.
Mm-hmm. The Bad Rock. Boys?
The Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
Bad Boys he directed?
Yeah, I like Bad Boys.
I love Bad Boys.
And
Bad
two,
Boys is
Bad
funny.
Boys two. Yeah.
I didn't see Bad Boys 2.
Early on, he was okay, but then he just... And I heard, get this, I hear...
Armageddon is like a good... Armageddon is a good, bad Michael Bay movie. It's like a fun, cliche example of everything Michael Bay
The funny thing is...
And it's bad, but it's good because you can laugh at it.
I heard that he doesn't want to do Transformers anymore. And I heard that he's going...
He looks like Tony Wolf, by the way, Michael Bay.
Right, right. We
Someday
have
we have to do a spot.
But he wants to do, get this, like a low-budget indie film. Okay?
Michael Bay.
Now, a version of a low-budget indie film for Michael Bay is still probably upwards of $80 million. But it should be interesting to see what he considers like an indie-type film. And I'm anxious to see something like that. I think ultimately he'll get involved... And then just he won't be able to handle it, and he'll just say, we need a $300 million budget for it. But it's only two people talking in the library. We need explosions. So I don't know. I'm excited to see something like that. But anyway, I think that's it. The one thing I wanted to go back to is probably the personal side of Tony.
Yes.
Tony's
on a spiritual quest.
Well, yeah, there's two things. One is the fact that I heard you went to this person who hugged you.
I should write a magazine series of articles about this. Fuck the Action Room. I'm calling Marie Claire. I'm calling the New Yorker. Some friends of mine, I'm an actor, and I have my spiritual side, vaguely New Agey, you know, but not like too crazy New Agey. Not excessive. I don't use the term New Agey. It's a point of reference. And so every once in a while, you know, I'll go to things like acupuncture or Reiki or all these things. And I have a bunch of actor friends, many of whom are female. Now, female actors, you know they're going to be into all that stuff even more than I am, some of them. A lot more.
Because they're women.
You know, and... So, you know, some Indian spiritual teacher comes to town and speaks, and I might go check it out, or Buddhism, or meditation. And friends had told me about this person. She is known as Amma, the Hugging Saint, and she is an Indian spiritual teacher who's considered like a Mother Teresa, Dalai Lama type
Now, Tony,
type person.
Was she somebody that you basically put a quarter in and she points at a tarot card in a booth? Is that... And then you want it to be big and
what?
In the movie big.
Oh, right. Anyway. You will meet a tall, dark, handsome girl.
Okay, anyway, ew.
Anyway, well, I can't say tall, dark, handsome stranger because I'm not gay, but whatever. But I like the gays. They're awesome.
And you like that comic book artist. Whoever. Paul Pope.
I have the man crush on Paul Pope.
Bromance. Okay.
The bromance. Anyway, Amma, she goes around the world doing humanitarian aid, and she hugs people. And apparently, if you believe in this sort of thing, she has, like, good energy and vibrations and all this stuff.
Good,
and by the way, the Beach Boys were into all that stuff, too, and that's what inspired them to write the song Good Vibrations. They were all...
Outside of the aspect of people coming together, which I think is always a good experience and positive and stuff.
It was like 3,000 people.
That's amazing. Kind of pathetic, but that's amazing. Kind of like people standing outside of an arena waiting for Michael Jackson, who's never going to be there. But here's the thing. That, I think, is a beautiful thing, people coming together. The idea...
They chant, they do meditations.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but do you really believe the hugging itself does anything?
It might. I don't know.
Wow.
All right, action fans. There's a whole new topic. You can write in and call on the hotline.
All right, let's move this along because we're getting out of the geek culture.
Half of you will be into this stuff, and half of you will think I'm nuts or, you know, whatever.
Well, no, they'll all think you're nuts, but half of them will be in agreement of nutty things being good, I guess.
Right, right.
But tell me about the therapy, speaking of things that make you feel better.
Things that make you go, hmm. I'm interviewing therapists, which I've never done before. Prior to that, if I was in therapy years and years ago, someone just recommended the first person, and I felt good about the first person. This time I'm interviewing people. It's kind of like internet dates, which I did a lot of. And
is there like a site for therapists? Like,
yes.
You know, what do you
interview
like?
The therapist.
Casual therapying.
That's right. You ask them some questions. You know, you get to know them. You get a feel for them.
And how many have you met so far?
Three.
Wow.
But actually, there's also the question of cost.
Right. Of course.
Some therapists are very expensive. $120, $150 an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's kind of normal for therapists. Also, if you have health insurance...
You know, you could fund the Action Room and just spend the hour here, you know.
Anyway.
So is there one that's winning a candidate?
There might be.
Well, but there's still more you're going to be checking.
No,
out.
I can't. I can't afford it anymore.
Okay.
It has to stop. This madness has to stop! No, the one person who was at 120, 150 seemed cool and everything, but no.
It just wasn't worth it.
No, but if you have insurance, which many people do,
right.
Most insurance will pay for at least half of therapy. What's more reasonable is like 50, 60, 75, that sort of thing.
And
that's also, by the way, what an actor would pay for like an hour of acting coaching,
mm-hmm.
or like a singing lesson,
right.
or like a movement lesson class.
A bowel movement lesson.
A stretching, an hour of yoga.
Okay, yes, all a waste of money. Okay, so we're going to follow the Tony experience.
We'll see.
I may not
disclose everything.
No, of course not. You're not going to tell us what you go through, but it'd be nice to know that you found one
right.
that you like
right.
or something along those lines, you know, just right. to see, and if it's helping, that's all. You
yeah,
know?
That's true.
Because I think the idea of seeing Tony now and then will be interesting.
Yes, know? Yes.
I think we've seen a lot of a change since we first started this show.
Well, you know, all the answers are really just inside us.
That's what I believe.
They are.
As he holds his black
Green
Lantern ring.
As I hold my black lantern ring.
All right, I think that's about it.
And the dead shall rise! All right, so thanks very much, Action Room fans, for tuning in. Write to us. Tell us that you're listening. Let us know who you are. You, yes, you, that kid in Alaska.
We do it for them, you know.
We do it for the fans. Without the fans, we're two guys sitting in the Action Room.
Next week, San Diego Comic-Con crap.
Next
G.I.
week,
Joe crap.
The build-up to San Diego Comic-Con, and more fun stuff. And we'll see if Jessica can chime in live from Italy. Where in Italy? We'll find out next week. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Mike.
He's Producer Mike.
Producer Mike, sorry. Go ahead.
And you've been listening to The Action Room.